Welcome to episode 239 of the Bobbycast, where I saw Bill Withers passed away this morning, so I wanted to say a few things about him. Didn't know him. Bill Withers, Hall of Fame soul singer, dead at 81 years old. And again, I didn't know him personally, but Ain't No Sunshine is, why to think, probably my second favorite song of all time.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
But
it's not a
Lovely Day, the jam. Lean on Me is a jam. Use Me.
That if it feels this good,
you don't even know.
Because
you may be like, who is Bill Withers? And we play all these, you're like, oh, I love that one. Oh, I love that one. I know he sang that. But soul legend Bill Withers has died from heart complications, 81 years old. You know, when I woke up and saw the news, I really thought it was going to be coronavirus.
Me too, yeah.
Because that's what everybody's dying from right now that's old and famous. And some people not old, but I did think it was going to be corona. I didn't want to share the story behind Ain't No Sunshine. It wasn't going to be a single, but radio stations just started playing it. It was his first hit. We talked about this in a Bobbycast earlier because he was that guy who got to start later.
Yeah.
So he didn't record his first song until he was 32 years old. He was in the Navy for 9 years. Then he worked at a factory making parts for airplanes. After that, he was introduced to Booker T. Jones from Booker T. and the MGs. So Booker was a session musicians, and you know, he brought in a bunch of musicians. And some of them, one of the guys, Stephen Stills, who played guitar for him, was the one who ended up producing Bill Withers' album when he was 32. So, again, he made it later in life. This was a song, and this song specifically was a B-side to another song called Harlem. And Harlem was the one they wanted to be the single, but DJ started playing the other song. And so then it became a hit. So there you go. I don't even know if I've ever heard Harlem, to be honest with you.
I don't think I have either.
Bill Withers grew up in Slab Fork, West Virginia, at the end of the Great Depression, youngest of six kids. I had a speech impediment, joined the Navy after high school, worked as a milkman. Like I said earlier, worked in aircraft parts.
Lord, he don't care if I'm free.
This is Harlem right here?
This is Harlem.
This is a radio nowadays. This one would get played just because it has tempo. It's a good. This is a good too.
Number one on the album, so then it's Ain't No Sunshine right after it.
Yeah. Well, but on the, you say album, but what happened was, though, radio stations get sent singles.
Yeah.
So not albums. And on the single, there'd often be a song they wanted you to play. This is even back in my day in 2004, right? They send you a single, and there's another track on it that they may go for a second single with, or just a song to let you know more about the artist. So it wasn't an album, but yeah.
I guess back in the day, it would just be like a 7-inch record.
Yeah, it'd be a small record. I don't know if that's 7 inches.
Yeah.
Listen, I've often thought a lot of things were 7 inches that weren't, so.
Yeah, I used to collect just straight up like single vinyls.
You have any of those?
I still have a few of them, yeah. And it's just, I think it can only hold 12 minutes of music.
Is that right? You know, they're fun, I guess, and I have a record player, like a cool old record player. But I just get annoyed that they only play like six songs and then you have to flip the thing over.
Yeah, I think even with records, it's maybe 35 they can hold. That way, if anything's longer than that, you get the 2 LP.
Well, so he goes to a club and he's going to watch Lou Rawls perform. Lou Rawls was late. And he shows up, has a bunch of women with him. And still, the crowd goes crazy. And he's like, well, I got to do that. So he bought a cheap guitar at a pawn shop, taught himself to play, started writing songs between shifts at the factory. A demo tape of his got to Clarence Avant, an executive at Sussex Records, and they called him and said, hey, let's do this. And that guy I talked about earlier, the guitar player, was the one that produced it. And so one of the songs they cut, Ain't No Sunshine, was the tale of lost love that he wrote after watching 1962, a movie, Jack Lemmon and Lee Remick, Days of Wine and Roses. Never heard of any of that. The album was Just As I Am.
It's not warm when she's away.
There you go. There's a little background on him. But passed away at 81. I love his music. Still love his music. Second favorite song of all time behind John Mayer, Stop This Train. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace, man. A new music out today from Sam Hunt. He's got an album called Southside. And I guess it's his first record in 6 years or so.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's it.
Montevello was his last record. And you know, Ken Folks, it has new songs like 2016.
And I didn't drive 1,000 miles to your house.
Or 2000. Which one is it? 2016?
2016.
Yeah.
Put the tears back in your eyes. Cause all my lies still come true. I tell you everything was alright. And hold your baby all night when your heart is all patched up. And our love is good as new. I'd take 2016 and give it back to you.
And then another song about years. This is Breaking Up Was Easy in the 90s.
I'm sick of sitting at the house, dying on my phone, wishing I was somewhere I could be alone. Try to let you go, something always reminds me. I've been breaking up was easy in the 90s. I'm tired of getting drunk.
Ashley McBride put out a record called Never Will. It's her second album. Here is One Night Standard.
It's just a room key. You ain't got a lot to me. Can't you just use me like I'm using you?
There you go. I was looking at these songs. I don't see anything from the Raging Idiots new album.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, you put the list down there, didn't you?
I did.
Did you forget?
Came out earlier.
One day early. We tried to beat the rush. Country songs. Ian McConnell and Kaylee Shore have How Do We Do This?
Even if we thought it was for a year and a half.
We used to fall in real good at falling out. What's the protocol?
We were talking to her. She had coronavirus.
Yeah.
Her and the two roommates she had that are both musicians. Toby Keith has a song called What's Up, Cuz? Thomas Rhett has Be a Light with Reba, Keith Urban, Hillary Scott, Lady A, and Chris Tomlin.
When you do somebody wrong, make it right.
Hot Country Nights have The USA Begins With Us.
The USA begins with us. It does.
That's Dirks' comedy band. So you put Dirks' comedy band in, but not mine. Just making sure here. Chrissy Metz has Talking to God.
I was talking to God last night.
She's from, what's that show called?
This Is Us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lindsay Lohan has a new song out today?
Yeah.
Getting Out of Country, Lindsay Lohan has Back to Me. If I heard this probably twice, I'd be like, that's my jam. Drake has Tootsie Slide.
Tootsie Slide, then I hit it double time, then I hit a spin, cause we spun that block a couple times. If it's not the right time, it'll always be another time. I'm not even trying.
Bozzy has Renee's song.
Come here, come here. So come here.
Ricky Retro and Joe Exotic have a Here Kitty Kitty remix.
Oh, here Kitty Kitty.
The problem with the Joe Exotic stuff is that's not him singing.
Yeah.
Why are people still saying it's him? He lip-synced in the docu-series. Whatever. Let's see. Is there anybody else? There's a solo album from M. Ward, who is half of She and Him, who Zooey Deschanel's in. So that's one. The Canadian pop band Purity Ring have an album called Womb. Peach Pit, the Canadian pop band You and Your Friends. And here we go. Bonus music news. Why are music streams down if everyone is stuck at home? This is written by Jeff Mayfield at Variety. Simply put, they say it's down to focus on news and other televised options. The loss of daily commutes, where many people stream music and multiple people at home together streaming the same thing. So far, and not that it's not going to change, but our podcasts have gone way up.
Yeah.
The morning show podcast has gone way up. And this podcast has gone way up. And again, that could change, but reality shows have also drawn more eyeballs in recent weeks, as has streaming services like Disney Plus, Apple TV, Hulu, and Netflix. What are you mostly on right now, Mike?
I would say probably Disney Plus.
You know, I've never been on Disney
Plus. Really?
Yeah. I don't have it, I don't think.
I think it's I don't know if you would enjoy it as much because you've never really seen any Disney movies unless you're going to go back and watch a bunch of old stuff. I don't know if you would get much out of it.
No Disney movies. I haven't seen those. I haven't seen any Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't watch The Mandalorian.
And then the Marvel movies.
And I guess I've seen the Marvel ones that I want to see.
And then for me, I watched The Simpsons on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think American Idol is on Hulu though, right?
I believe so, yes.
Because Hulu is also Disney, owned by Disney. Do you know that?
I didn't know that.
Because the person that runs ABC also is oversees Hulu, and ABC is a Disney product.
Yeah, I guess they do get a bunch of like recent ABC shows on there, like right after they air.
And Bear Grylls is on Hulu, which is Nat Geo, which is owned by Disney. So I guess they have two kind of services going.
Yeah.
That's what's up with music. We do have a couple interviews coming up, which I guess we should have mentioned at the beginning of this, huh?
Yeah, mention it now.
Yeah, we have Luke Bryan on the way. We'll get to him in just 1 second, and then you'll hear from John Party as well. Hope everybody's safe out there. Be sure to check out the Raging Idiots' latest record. It's a live record. People always wonder what our songs are like when we play a live show, so you can hear that. We did a record called Live and... Oh, what's this?
1, 2, 3, 4. Don't go shopping at Target with khaki pants and a red shirt on. Don't go shopping at Target.
Right.
With khaki pants and
so you can check that out. Thank you, and we'll take a little break and come back with Luke Bryan here, Bobby Bones Show. Oh, wait, no, Bobby Bones.
Bobby Cass.
What is this called?
Bobby
Dude,
Cass.
I'm telling you, I'm doing so many shows right now from this one spot. I'm going crazy. Bobby Cass. Thank you. Hey, man, where are you at?
I'm down in Mount Pleasant at my bass lake.
Are you spending a lot of time out there since everything's kind of shut down?
So, man, you know, in the world of, obviously, with everybody being on lockdown, it's nice to be able to, I've been bouncing back and forth, just hopping in my car, driving down here, fishing a little bit and going home. And, you know, when you can go get on a bass boat by yourself, that's pretty legit social distancing. So,
yeah, you know, it's been weird to not be working. I mean, like, not be gone working. It's got to be that way for you too, right? Because not only were you, you know, doing shows, but doing Idol, like all that's kind of been scrapped for a bit anyway.
Yeah, with me. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You don't realize how busy you are, how much running around in a day you do. I mean, I think it's, you know, with all the tricky aspects of this thing, I think it's going to be pretty interesting for people to really take a step back and understand what's important and what's not. And I mean, I've done that already. I mean, it's just been nice. You know, it takes you about a week and a half to, it's, you come in phases of like reprogramming your brain. So now I think, I mean, me personally, me and everybody in my world, we're bought into that this could be a month and a half, 2 months, and we have our routine, and everybody in my world feels like we're pretty happy to be doing the right thing, you know?
Ryan had announced it, and I know we had kind of known it was going to happen a bit anyway, but, you know, we're going to be doing Idol from our houses, basically. Have you got your setup at your house yet? Hey, man, you there?
Dude, I hit my power button accidentally 3 times, and it caught, like, it was an emergency thing. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I've hit it before where it's like that weird, before you swipe your phone, you hit it, and it's like you don't have to log into your phone to push it. Yeah, I've done that before.
Anyway, sorry, you were saying something about Ryan, sorry.
No, so Ryan had kind of officially announced it where he said that we're all going to be working from our houses on American Idol, and I had asked if you got your house set up yet. I just got my stuff today. Have they already set you up?
You know what? They're sending. I hadn't gotten set up yet, but I think I'm going to do it down in my barn at the house. So, because right now, I mean, we're homeschool. I mean, with the kids doing school and stuff like that, there's a lot of. It's just going to be better for me to kind of go somewhere quiet.
Well, I was talking to Caroline about homeschooling, and she wants to pull her hair out, it sounds like.
oh my God, like, yeah, she's ready to kill me.
Well, I asked because she was talking about all that she was doing, and she was talking about having to teach different kids different things and having to watch over them. And then I said, what's up with Luke? And she was like, I'm going to kill him.
Yeah. Like, it's best for me to quarantine off by myself away from her. So, we don't need any other, you know, she may just knock me off, throw me in the river, you know, but anyway, we're working through it, man. It's just, it's been, like I said, it's just so many little bitty challenges. But at the end of it all, man, I'm really proud of, like, so, I mean, I'm just proud of, like, we chose to quarantine with a group. Like, my nephew, Teal, he has four of his high school buddies that we've been quarantined together since March 14th.
Wow.
Because we were all going to go on a skiing trip, and it got canceled. And then we just said, well, let's go to our beach. And then at the beach, stuff starts locking down tighter and tighter. You know, the parameters of what we should do got stricter and stricter. So about March 16th, we truly haven't left our group. Caroline, I mean, her role kind of has been the mornings, and me, I've been cooking for about 14 people a night. And there was one night we were at the beach that I went and I bought a lot of, you know, food and stuff, you know, meats and ribs and stuff like that. And we've just been kind of storing it and putting it in the freezer. But it's been a really reflective, interesting time for me. I mean, it's just been pretty amazing. You get in this routine of work, and you don't even really look at you're working so much, you don't look at the world around you. So it's nice to kind of, it's almost, I mean, me and Blake, Blake texted me a couple days ago, and we were laughing because it was like, it's kind of a glimpse into retirement, you know?
Well, you know, I was reading what you wrote about Joe Diffie, and I got to know Joe over the last couple of years, and was so sad to see that he passed away and that it was from Corona. And I thought you had a really poignant Instagram about Joe. I just wonder what that relationship was like with you guys.
Yeah, man. So, I was a huge Joe Diffie fan. I'm talking about from the first single Home. I mean, I was just a huge Joe Diffie fan. And so I moved to Nashville in 2001, and a buddy of mine, a guy named Galen Griffin, and I wrote one of my first singles with Galen. Galen and Joe were golfing buddies. And Galen calls me up and he goes, hey, man, you want to go come play golf with me and Joe Diffie? And I was like, hell yeah, I'll be there. So, man, through the, you know, over the next couple of years, I probably played 10 or 12 rounds of golf with him. And this was before I even had a record deal. I mean, this was very early into my path. And man, he was just a gentle, kind, he was just a great dude. You know, he let me come play golf with him, and that was his thing, and real laid back and soft spoken. I was just so blessed that I got to have those moments on the golf course with him. And, you know, I guess 3 months ago, I saw Joe. We did the Earl, you know, Blake really spearheaded the an Earl Thomas Conley Memorial concert, and Joe was there, and I got to see Joe and shake his hand, and And, you know, that was certainly the last time I saw him. And, I mean, it's just heartbreaking. I mean, he, when you look at the memories of kind of the 90s country, you know, nobody had a bigger, you know, nobody planted a bigger flag in 90s country than Joe Diffie. And, even like, I mean, it's made me, as I've kind of been quarantined and I've been like sitting in my tackle shed going through, you know, oil and reels and just kind of sitting there drinking a beer and, man, just listening to, you know, his whole body of work. It's just, he's just one of the best, you know, I mean, when you look at his range from his low end to his high end, I mean, he was just one of the best singers that ever lived. And a lot of people through the years have always believed that Joe Diffie was top to bottom, one of the best singers ever.
You know, we also lost Kenny Rogers. Did you have a relationship with Kenny?
Same deal. You know, certainly didn't ever play golf with Kenny, but, I've got a couple great stories about, my time with Kenny. Just met him at different, you know, like CMT awards through the years. And just always, I mean, like I said, I mean, he's one of those, and I'm sure you're with me on this. He's one of my first memories of music. I mean, I listened to the Gamble. I mean, this is going to tell you how young I was. Or I listened to the Gambler on an 8-track in my, you know, in my bedroom. And so to go from just in like the movie Six Pack and just his, I mean, I remember being a kid and I just watched that movie over and over and over. That movie spoke to me in so many ways. And, but so I go on to meet him and probably met Kenny eight to 10 times through the years. And, the last time I saw Kenny, I was at Lionel Richie's Kennedy Center Honors, and he was there, and just got to take a picture with him, and just hugged on him and loved on him, so the funny story is I was doing a farm tour, and I guess this was 5 or 6 years ago, and Kenny's youngest sons were at my farm tour. And, you know, at the time, I guess they were probably 8 or 9 years old. So now I guess they're probably 16, you know, now they're probably 16 years old and, or maybe 15 years old, but they had gotten in a bad fire ant bed. So we get Kenny's boys up on the bus and try to get them some Coca-Colas and chill them out. Cause I mean, you know, they got eat up by fire ants pretty good, but, so hopefully, you know, if they're out there, you know, they certainly, I saw Kenny, and that was one thing he and I laughed about a little bit, how I got his sons out to my concert and got them eat up by fire ants, and he got a big kick out of it. But, you know, and as big and as bold of a singer, as undeniable as a singer, as Joe Diffie was, I mean, Kenny Rogers was somebody that I viewed as maybe the best recording artist that country music has ever seen. And it's funny, it took me a few years to truly understand the definition of a recording artist. I mean, there's big singers, there's loud singers, there's powerful singers. And when you look at the ability of what Kenny Rogers' ability to just record a song with that smoky soft voice, and you know, he didn't have the loudest voice in the room, he didn't have the his ability to really record himself and to record the songs that he chose through the years. I mean, I don't know of anybody that's ever been better. And I mean, just it's just you know, and as I've grown as a singer through the years, you know, I've stepped up to the microphone to record, you know, a song like Drink a Beer, and I learned that it's not about singing loud and it's not about singing about volume. It's just about, you know, really recording this thing and telling the story of it. And that's a direct learning situation from what Kenny Rogers was able to do.
Well, before I let you go, I do want to hit on this, that What She Wants Tonight is your 24th number one. You just got that. Congratulations to you on that one there.
Are you about to let me go?
Well, listen.
We're going to do a quick one?
I feel like you're like kicking around ice chests or like, you know, skinning a deer or something in that room.
No,
right now.
Hey, Bobby, I am totally chilled now. You get the things you need.
No, I get the things I need. I was going to talk to you about this song for a minute because you wrote this with a couple friends of mine, Ross Copperman, Hillary Lindsay, John Knight. So do you remember getting in the room to write this song?
Oh, yeah. So let me, you know, the comedy of, so Hillary Lindsay and I, we go back, you know, Hillary is a Georgia girl. When I moved to Nashville, Hillary was starting to really take off and start becoming one of the best writers of all time, and certainly one of the best female and probably the best female writer of all time. And so Hillary and I became friends, and then, but we never wrote much. And I would see Hillary and I'd say, God, when are we going to write? So after all these years, I record Knockin' Boots, which she wrote. And then, you know, she comes out to the house and I get in the room with Ross and John and her, and I mean, me and Ross and John have had some success together, and then, but for me to finally get a song with Hillary Lindsay, I mean, it's a very big deal for me. I've always respected everything that she did, and I'm so proud that me and her finally, you know, got a big one together, and you know, so that day in the room, Ross comes in, and he has that he has the track rocking, you know, and him and John Knight had worked on a melody throughout the chorus, and we jumped right in there, and it just started, you know, all the pieces fell into place. And man, I left that room, John Knight, who is one of my favorite singers in the town of Nashville. I think that, I mean, he's just one of my favorite singers. And John is, he goes and records the demo. And the second I heard the demo, I was like, I'm recording that. And it's funny. I've always, my history with Dallas Davidson through the years, you know, Dallas will send songs that he writes, and I'll send songs to him that I write. And Dallas just, it was one of his favorite songs that I've ever written. And it was certainly one of mine. I just felt like, it checked all the boxes. It said a lot. It was a sexy song, and, it was rangy. And man, I'm just so proud that it went to number one.
You know, your record's coming out on the 24th. Right now we're recording this on April 2nd. So we got, you know, a little over 2 weeks until this record comes out. At this point, have you already started working on, at least in your mind, the next record? Are you already writing songs and you're creatively out of this space already for the record? What's happening right now?
Well, with me, excuse me. With me, you know, I'm always going to continue to write and maybe add, you know, we're going to do a 10-song release. So what we would probably do was add more songs to that initial 10-song release. And then that gives us the freedom, if we get a song we're really behind, to put it on this current album. So it's almost like, you obviously understand the format, what I'm talking about. I mean, it's like, if I have a song that I love that I want to go record tomorrow, I'll run in and record it. And then if we do an extended version of this current album, you know, it'll be on there. And so that's kind of my mindset. And then I think my mindset is to really focus on writing a little bit every month. Try to write 3 or 4, 5 songs a month. Keep the train rolling, and then look at the label. When the label kind of tells me, hey, your awareness or your excitement over this current project has kind of passed, and, you know, people feel like they're ready to hear a whole nother approach, that's when we'll go on to a new album.
What's the approach on this record?
That's kind of going to be my approach, and we'll see how it works. And, you know, with me, it'll always be about, you know, just kind of record the songs that speak to you at the time. I look over kind of my whole body of work, and I've really checked a lot of boxes in the songs that I want as a whole career. You know, now it's about, are things a little new, are things a little different? I mean, at some point, you know, I need to really, really look at some fun collaboration partners. I've never really dove into a lot of collaborations, and certainly that's becoming a popular thing to do. And so we'll see if, you know, what kind of music gets bred from that. But hey, so you're at home, right?
Yeah.
All right, walk to your front door.
Wait, what?
Walk to your front door.
Wait, I'm up. I'm upstairs. I mean, I can. I'm upstairs.
Can you send somebody to your front door?
Yeah, Mike. Can you go to the front door? All right, Mike's walking out to the front door.
So everybody, it is Bobby's 40th birthday today. Happy 40th, Bobby.
Thank you.
I saw that this morning. Welcome to the 40 Club. How's it feel?
I don't like it that much, but, you know, what are you going to do? I'm happy to be here. I'm happy at the things that I've been able to do and do for others. So I'm feeling pretty good. I don't know what's about to happen right now, though. Why is Mike going to the front door?
Well, I just now, first of all, everything in the box has been sanitized and to the umpteenth degree.
Okay.
So it has been thoroughly sanitized, but I just wanted to have a little fun with you on your birthday. And, you know, 30, I hated 30. 30 was a nightmare.
Why 30?
40 wasn't. 40 didn't hit me as bad.
Well, 40, I'm not married with kids yet. I think that's going to happen pretty soon-ish. So if I were 40 and had, like, that stuff, I think I'd be pretty good. But 40 hits me harder than 30, because at 30 I felt like, who cares? At 40 I'm like, all right, I got to get some of this life stuff going. I've been focused too much on work, you know?
See, 30 hit me hard because, you know, I was trying to get my music career really to the next level. I was playing college bars. So when you're 28 playing a college bar, that sounds okay. But when you're 30 playing a college bar, it starts getting a little dicey.
All right, is this from you? Is it a bag or a box? A shark bag?
Oh, I can't verify the bag.
Let's see what we got here. It is every piece of gum you could ever imagine. Listen, here's the thing is, I chew gum, and the last time Luke and I were together for a long time, I probably went through 3 packs of gum in 5 minutes. And so now I got a bag full of double bubble that I will choke on. This is awesome. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
So, yeah, me and so for everybody to know that, you know, the last time I was with Bobby, because obviously – we, you know, Bobby doesn't drink, but I'm like, this guy's got to have a vice out there. So his vice is chewing bubble gum.
That's true.
So,
well, I appreciate that, man.
No, we're having a little fun with you, and Carrie dropped it off, and so I hope you like I said, if you want to re-sanitize it, I would, but you know, at least they're in individually wrapped containers.
They are that. Well, listen, I'm gonna let you go. I appreciate the birthday gift. If you need anything, let me know. And congratulations on the song. And you know, it'll be interesting. We'll be a history made idol season because we're gonna be working. You guys are gonna be working from home judging. I'm gonna be working with the contestants from home on a connection, and it's gonna be the first ever idol season where we're not with the contestants. It's gonna be wild. I don't even really know what's gonna happen for all the way through.
Yeah, man. I mean, and you know what? I tell you what. I do want to say one thing while I got you. I mean, you know, I never get to see what you're doing while we're, you know, we're doing our deal, you're doing your deal, and man, you're just, the way you're treating these kids is just so admirable and so perfect, and thank you for, like, I mean, you know, I know you and I have kind of talked in private, but I mean, you're going to be a licensed psychologist by the time all this is done.
Yeah, I'm just trying to fix them before they walk in and fix them back after you guys break them down.
Yeah, you need to get, like, maybe Dr. Phil or somebody to give you an honorary psychology degree or something. Yeah. So.
Well, man, have a, be safe and tell the family I say hello.
Listen, happy birthday, and thank you for having Caroline on all the time. And,
I love her.
You guys stay safe.
Love her. See you, bud.
All right, man. Bye.
Yo, dude.
Hey, what's going on?
How you been, man?
I've been good.
Are you...
You know...
What stage of boredom or laziness are you at right now?
Nothing really. I've been doing a lot of stuff outside, so the only thing that's getting me is allergies.
Man, my girlfriend is just getting crushed by them. She's never had them, and she's been here for 3 weeks, and they're just nailing her.
Yeah, it's fun to watch everything turn green, but at the same time, the pollen and stuff's getting wild.
You ever been to an allergist?
Yeah, and it was weird. The only thing that was, like, really allergic to was dust mites.
I got dust mites, too. Did they do the thing where they poked in your back?
Yeah.
Yeah, take your shirt off, they put a bunch of markings on you, and you just felt extra vulnerable, and, like, I felt a little bit chubby, and, like, the lighting wasn't good in the room, and they'd probably...
Judging.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good environment for me to feel cute, you know?
Yeah, I mean, not to get all, like, not in bringing up poop or anything, but my doctor said if you do a stool sample, you can test a lot more allergies than that. But I didn't do that.
I've never done a stool sample for anything. That would be a tough cup to hit. Is it a cup or a... See, that should be a bowl. I'm not sure how they do stool samples, because I can cup...
It's like a top hat. That's what they gave me the thing to do it, and I just couldn't. I was like, I don't know about pooping in a bag.
Yeah. Well, it's good to talk to you again. Something I was going to tell you is that before the ACMs came out, because you were nominated for ACM Album of the Year, and the show wasn't able to happen, and it's got to be a bit frustrating that you're nominated for one of the big awards, and then you don't even get to know if you won or not until indefinitely, right?
Yeah.
When
September, I guess.
Well, yeah, supposedly, right? So here's my question to you. I had recorded the nomination like 4 days prior to them actually announcing it, and I knew that you were nominated. But I had to decide as a friend, did I want to call you and give you the heads up, or call Mel and give her the heads up, or just, since I knew you won, let you experience it when it was announced. Looking back, which would you have rather I done, or I did?
I like the surprise.
So I made the right call then.
Yeah, okay. No, it was cool seeing you do your thing and announcing everybody, and then my name popped up. I thought that was cool.
Was that the one you guys were really hoping for?
Yeah, I mean, I think we worked so hard on the record, and to get a nomination, that's for us, that's a big award on the show. And as a producer, as a songwriter, and just as making an album that you want everybody to listen to, that it just really puts a stamp on it.
You have to postpone your wedding?
Sure did. But the good part is I moved to Nashville.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So would you guys consider getting married earlier quietly and then having a wedding, like for everybody else, a wedding and a party, or are you guys really just holding off?
No, I don't. We're going to do a wedding. We're going to act like we're going to get over this, but it's not going to be till Summer does not want to be getting married next year, but we're gonna shooting for November now.
So you scaled back, or like what's the Nashville plan?
It is just said this big barn, and somewhere in Franklin, I think.
Yeah.
And we're just kind of working out the details right now. We just got a date, and so it's all kind of brand new again. But we got to do it all over again.
You know, a few days ago, Joe Diffie passed away. I got to be friends with Joe the last couple of years. I know that you were a Joe Diffie fan too. You ever get to spend any time with Joe?
I did. It wasn't too much, but he was so nice every time I ran into him. And we like had a couple. We had a hang up in at Whiskey Row upstairs after a Dirks concert. He was there and hanging out, just like the nicest guy. Told me he was the biggest fan, and he loved what I was doing. It was just like such a nice guy. You could tell he's just like a big teddy bear, you know?
Yeah.
And it just bummed me out for someone like that to, you know, see go to a thing that just came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
know?
That sucked. I really like Joe too, man. So we're all in quarantine pretty much. You been watching a bunch of movies or no?
No, I've been kind of chilling, FaceTiming, playing the guitar. I've been on the excavator a lot.
The excavator.
cleaning up branches, and 'cause I got this new property I'm cleaning up. So, you know, and when you're on a tractor, you're kind of, you know, I call it the quarantine machine.
Yeah.
Like I'm not, there's nobody around me. So I've been doing that, and it kind of keeps me sane for right now.
Recently, I drove up beside you, and I wasn't paying attention. I was looking ahead, and this dude, this big old red work truck's like screaming at me. It was you in a big red work truck. What were you doing in the big red work truck, and is that your work truck?
Yeah, that's Randy. I named him Randy for Handy Randy. he's my single cab, 8-foot bed truck that it's really good for towing stuff and hauling stuff around, and it's got that headache rack on the back so I can put like wood over the cab and everything.
Yeah.
So.
What are you doing now? Sounds like you're walking into the commode or what?
No, I stepped outside.
Oh.
But I got squeaky doors.
This
it
week.
It rained so much, I'd be a squeaky door.
We, you know, we've been buying stuff online over at this house a little bit. Have you bought anything online this week?
My online shopping's kind of stopped. What else? I did buy some. Oh, I bought a wood splitter.
Man, you are straight up in mo. You're going to get more done during coronavirus than you would have in a year without coronavirus.
Well, that was the point of it. You know, I was just like, you know, I'm just going to work on my property, try to write songs, and just stick to myself. You know, the other property's 40 acres, and it's right down the road. So I'm really just me doing stuff and staying busy, and it's fun, you know. I enjoy it, and it's healthy, except the allergies. But yeah. You know, you're constantly moving and working out, and then you get to see it get done. You know, there's so many trees in Tennessee, and so if you need any firewood, man,
we may need a little bit.
I got a log splitter.
We were just talking. Caitlin and I were just talking. We were like, hey, she wants to go build a fire because I have a spot to put a fire in the backyard, which I've never used. It's a pit.
Uh-huh.
And I don't even have any firewood, much less anything else to get a fire going. And I was like, you know what? We don't have any wood, and we're not going to go chop any wood. So sorry on that fire pit. But if you have some extra wood, you may drop some off over here.
I could do a quarantine drop-off.
Just put it on the street. Yeah, you don't got to put it on the front porch. Just put it on the street. What are you cooking at all? You cook?
Summer does, and she's really good. We've been eating a lot. We've been post-mating some. But we got an air fryer. That's pretty cool for quarantine.
Yeah, what is that?
It fries stuff, but it fries it without grease, I guess.
Yeah. Is that a real thing? Is that real frying then if it's without grease?
Yeah.
Okay.
It tastes really good. So we made these chicken taquito stuff, and Summer put it in the fryer. Man, it was good. And we had coconut shrimp, and you fry fish, and it's less greasy, and it tastes real clean.
Have you learned anything about Summer since you're together all the time now that you didn't already know?
I mean, there's just, she's just not a morning person. I'll be like, hey, good morning. And she's like, she's kind of a zombie in the morning. So I got to let her get her her day started, like do her thing. She has her regimen. I just kind of leave her alone. And that's my kind of where I always used to kind of bug her. Now I just kind of leave her alone.
Are you a morning person, though? That's kind of weird for an artist who's out playing late shows to be a morning person.
I'm a morning person if the sun's out. Now, if the sun's not out, because I can tell by looking through the shutters, like what the day is going to be, by just like the blue or the gray, and I'm just like, man, if it's raining outside, I know it's going to be like an inside day.
Let me ask you a question about music. We got a few more minutes here with you. The Heartache, did you do a second Heartache song to match the two Boots songs? Is that like an OCD thing? You kind of keep it even?
No. I just feel like if you've got a good title, regardless of what the words are, it's a good title. Heartache Medication was just a different way to kind of talk about healing with a little bit of beer or something. And something we could, just different, you don't really hear it, and it was just kind of fun. So I brought it up, but the label was like, "Nah, it's fine." So
now all you need is a Heartache Boots song and just bring it all together. You know, Heartache and Boots or something like that. And then you got the two Boots, the two Heartaches, and then you put a nice little bow on it.
She sold my boots, and now I got a Heartache.
Yeah, that's it. The last time you put on your cowboy hat?
Oh, 2 days ago?
Oh, yeah. Are you wearing it around?
I wear my straw one when it's sunny out. A little UV protection.
Maybe that's what I need. What if you saw me wearing a straw cowboy hat? What would you think, for real?
I say right on, bro.
Nice, because I'm wearing pearls right now. I have some man pearls, which is the opposite of a straw cowboy hat. Now, what would you see if you saw me in my... I have on these blue man pearls. What would you say to me if you saw me wearing these?
Man, Bobby's been hanging out in L.A. a lot, yeah. You know, so he's got that Hollywood style now.
Stop it. Let me ask you a question here. When did you change your name to just at John Party when it used to be John Party Picks? What was that whole, and how hard was it to get?
Well, some random guy had John Party on Instagram for a long time. He wouldn't give it up. So that's why we had the John Party Picks. And then that guy went away. So,
what do you mean you went away? Did you kill him?
I fed him to a tiger. No, I don't know. I guess he probably got tired of people blowing him up. I don't know. Not literally blowing up, but like just Instagramming him. But no, it came available out of nowhere. And so we're like, yeah, let's do it. Because it's just easier to put your name and instead of like having another word attached to it for searching. I don't know.
Yeah. No, you're right. I didn't know what you had got John Party. I can't get Bobby Bones.
Yeah. Maybe he'll go away.
It's some dude. Yeah. Wink, wink. Did you watch Tiger King?
Oh, yeah. See that? I forgot to tell you. I did watch Tiger King.
All right. Go for it. Tell me about this. Like, what do you think about that show?
I was, it's so funny how it's 2020 and we could still see a world we never knew existed.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's what I was thinking too. Like, how did I not? And so close to me where I grew up too in Arkansas. I mean,
yeah.
And I didn't know because they say those tigers were like $2,000 to $4,000. Dogs cost, if you get a dog, it costs more than that.
Yeah. I mean, dude, there's some pricey dogs. Those little French bulldogs are pricey.
$2,000 for a baby. It made me want a baby tiger, but then what do you do with it when it gets big? You give it away because I'm not going to do what Doc Antle did where he had a gas chamber for those things, man. That was crazy, supposedly.
Supposedly. And they said he raided that guy, but he's got to have like a secret offsite place, you know?
And and all the wives.
Oh, man, that's... It's crazy.
Do you feel like
Joe Exotic guy said he had a furnace that he could, you know, take him to ash real quick. That's what he was saying, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Because all you got to do is let the blow in the wind see a tiger.
Well, and then, you know, Carol's husband, who maybe was eaten by a tiger, and then you start reading about and hearing that tigers' digestive systems can actually pretty much melt a human. Like, they eat it, he just goes away.
Oh, yeah. It's very entertaining and very just like, whoa.
Did you know that Joe Exotic wasn't singing those songs?
I did not know, but I kind of thought so. Because I was like, he doesn't sound like that.
Yeah, because he kind of sounds like this. And then the guy singing sounds like this when he sings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good, though. I thought it was a pretty good series. So I was glad it happened when it did, because it gave me something to binge watch whenever it was just getting so nutty as soon as Corona started happening.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm bad with titles and movies, but I was trying to think about what I watched. I've been watching some classics. Oh, you know, for summer, I watched Hitch.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
It's still funny. I don't remember it, you know. So I try to focus on, I've seen it, but do I remember it,
yeah.
You know, because it's been a while. So, but that, yeah, the streaming, I mean, what would we do if we still, I miss Blockbuster, but we wouldn't be able to go to Blockbuster.
But you skipped all the cable and all, and went all the way back to Blockbuster. Well, listen, man, I'm glad to hear you're well.
You skipped about 20 years.
You went straight from Blockbuster to streaming. There was a whole life that happened in between that. But yeah. No, I get you.
I mean, even video games, like, you can buy them on PlayStation.
I just bought one today. I was like, man, I'm kind of bored. So I spent $7 and bought a trivia. Are you playing PlayStation?
For sure, yeah. I mean, I am when I get bored if it's raining.
What do you have that you play online?
Dude, they're so hard these days, man. Let's see. There's some Grand Theft Auto. There's Call of Duty.
Yeah, we play Call of Duty a little bit, the new. And you know who else plays is Brett. Brett and I play a little bit.
That's cool.
Yeah. So
I don't have the headphones, though. Do you have the headphones?
Yeah. Well, that's how you know you don't play with a headset, because you got to talk into it, too. And I don't ever play with, like, kids that are way better than me, because after they kill me, they say a bunch of bad words, and I feel uncomfortable. And they're, like, 7.
I know. It's just a,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Well,
they're hard, man. I feel like it's just like I'm a failure. I can't even get through this level.
Well, listen, man, I'll let you get back to it. I just want to check in, see what was going on with you. Congrats on everything. And on the other side of this, you know, hope you get you an ACM award. I know you're going to get back out on the road. Like everybody else, we're just kind of itching to go see the people again, you know?
Oh, yeah. How you holding up? You good?
Yeah, listen, I have everything at the house, right? Like I can do my radio show here. I can do my podcast here. I have Stanley. I got a girlfriend
Stanley.
That's here. I got the whole thing. So, you know, I get bored because I'm not able to travel around and work. I can't tour, obviously, and do comedy, and I can't go do TV shows in L.A., but I got it a lot better than most people. You know, I think both of us do.
Well, that's awesome, man. Well, I'll save you a pile of firewood and text you when I'm leaving your driveway.
You know what? If you do, we would definitely take it, because she's just dying for a fire pit.
Okay, cool. Well, it's supposed to be here April 7th through the 15th, so hopefully it gets here. Then so.
All right, bud.
I'll save you some wood.
All right, talk to you soon.
Bye, bud.
See ya.
Later.